Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country.
He talks about the First Family's staggeringly lucrative crypto business. He reports that the president's net worth has jumped by $3 billion. That is a 17 times revenue increase for the Trump Organization since they entered the crypto market.
I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Today, we're talking about out with the old and in with the new money style. The penny was discontinued this week, something many people sought because the copper cost more to mint than 1 cent was worth. But President Donald Trump finally made it official by throwing his support behind the effort to kill it. So, the penny is no more, but the world of crypto keeps growing, and there are a lot of questions about Trump's own crypto riches. Here's a breakdown on that from the Adam and Jordana show at WCCO Radio.
It doesn't sound legal. It certainly doesn't sound ethical, but we're going to shake it out with our next guest. Well, I'm going to explain to you a little bit about the article that Joe Nocera wrote for the Free Press. So is it brilliant business or is it access from foreign governments and billionaires that are trying to get favors from Trump through buying digital assets? No, it gets really confusing. That's why we're bringing in the smartest person I know about this, Joe Nocera, who wrote the article, and he is the deputy managing editor of the Free Press.
Thanks for having me. I think it's an important issue, and I'm happy to talk about it.
I want to start with this, like, dollar for access mechanism. You write that the $3 billion surge in the Trump's family wealth is an alarming part of this story, because it seems, and that this is me saying it, not you, that they have monetized presidential access. You know, they had like that gala dinner where it was like $200,000 a person to be able to go. Is that what we're seeing? Are we currently living through a moment where people are able to buy access and influence to the president?
Well, I actually think it's kind of worse than that. To be honest, he did pump up sales of one of his cryptocurrencies by saying, I'm going to hold a gala dinner, and the 220 top buyers of the meme coin will come to the dinner, and the top 25 will come to a private event with me. And the number one person on the list was this guy, Justin Sun, this cryptocurrency billionaire, who was under investigation by the SEC. And what do you know? The SEC investigation disappeared. I mean, that's beyond access. That's not just access. And then the United Arab Emirates thing, UAE thing, I mean, that's even worse, because which you have a situation where, don't forget, it's not just Trump. It's not just Trump. It's the Witkoffs. So who is Steve Witkoff? He is Trump's one of his closest friends, and he's also the Middle East envoy. Mm-hmm. Who is Zach Witkoff? Zach Witkoff is Steve Witkoff's son, and he is one of the co-founders of the company, the crypto company, with Don Jr. and Eric Trump. So you've got Steve Witkoff with a left hand saying, let's negotiate this chip deal to the UAE, and you have the son saying, hey, let's do this $2 billion deal for our company that'll make us money. Oh, and by the way, the person on the other side of those negotiations, the sheik on the other side, his name I can't pronounce, he was involved in both of those negotiations. Both of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting a little overexcited here, I admit, but yeah,
it's okay.
Like many Americans, my eyes was glazing over through most of this because, you know, it's just, oh, there he goes again. Trump is scamming his MAGA supporters, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw the pardon of CZ, the founder of Binance, it's just like, this is wrong. Something's going on here that's not very good. Now, I should note, we need to say that the White House denies any conflicts, any problems. They basically say, you know, what Trump did was, as president, it had nothing to do with his crypto business. But, I mean, anybody who knows how Trump operates is that, you know, monetizing is his middle name.
So, and Joe, thank you for joining us. It seems to be happening right out in the open, and that this is happening right in front of us. And just like so many things, I guess, with this administration, is my question is, who's mining the store and saying, are there any voices in places of power saying that this A, at the very least, it doesn't look good, and at the very worst, it isn't good, and it's you are absolutely, this is a conflict of interest, and you're selling off influence. Is there any voices out there that are saying that have any sway?
No, is the answer. And I'll tell you why.
Okay, great.
Okay, so obviously the Justice Department's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't even think the president has an ethics counselor in the White House, as other presidents have had. The Republicans in Congress and the Senate aren't going to do anything. But here's the real surprise. Aside from Elizabeth Warren and Ro Khanna, the congressman from California, the Democrats haven't said anything either. Now, why is that, you ask? The answer is because the crypto lobby is so powerful that the Democrats are afraid of them for the midterms. So, for instance, the reason Sherrod Brown of Ohio is no longer a senator is in no small part because the crypto lobby decided to oust him because he was anti-crypto. So they spent a ton of money in Ohio trying to defeat him for re-election. They did the same thing with Katie Porter when she was trying to when she was running in the primary to for Senate. They did the exact same thing. She was anti-crypto, and they decided to make her a symbol of and make an example of her. So they not only did that, but then once she lost, they touted it everywhere possible, saying, look what we did to Katie Porter. And by the way, we'll do that to you, too.
Wow. We have, that's terrifying, by the way, Joe. Absolutely terrifying. We have an emoluments clause in our Constitution, and I do want to talk about that, because that basically says that presidents shouldn't be able to make money off of the presidency. But in the UAE deal specifically, where the $2 billion stablecoin purchase came before this favorable national security decision on the chips to sell them the chips, that sort of raised the ire of wait a minute, can the emoluments clause come into play here? So does how the Trumps are structuring this, you know, like the president saying the money is going to his son's business, does that protect him from from the emoluments clause? And does the emoluments clause have any teeth to protect the American public from this happening?
Okay, so we discovered during the first Trump term that the emoluments clause is pretty toothless unless Congress rises up and tries to do something about it via impeachment. So, for instance, don't you remember when the Saudis and everybody were renting rooms in his hotel in Washington? Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Well, right. So the Democrats sued under the emoluments clause and saying this was wrong, and the judge threw it out and said the Democrats didn't have any standing to sue. So if the Democrats don't have a standing to sue in a monument, then who the hell does? The thing about Trump is, you said, he does it out in the open. He does. And he's shameless. And it really helps if you're a crook to be shameless because you don't care. His attitude is, come get me. Come get me, boys. As his mentor used to say, you know, they punch you, you punch them back harder.
And Joe, here's the thing, too. There's no shame with him, and his supporters don't care. They just don't. And we're getting text after text right now as you're talking, saying, where were Joe's eyes glazing over when Joe Biden's son dealings overseas, or talking about Nancy Pelosi and her returns on investment and all the Dems who are involved in corruption.
Yeah.
How is this different?
First of all, the free press has been very tough on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. So we have nothing to be embarrassed about there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, there is zero proof that Hunter Biden was putting money in his dad's pocket. His deals were sleazy.
Yep.
And there's no question that he was doing that. The only reason he was getting, million-dollar-a-month deals with Burisma and so on was because he was the president's son. There's no question about that. He participating in that? Was he part of the deal? There's never been any proof of that.
Correct.
And mm-hmm. The Republicans, brought impeachment charges that never got anywhere because there was no proof. As for Nancy Pelosi, what people tend to forget is that she's married to a hedge fund manager. Look, nobody in Congress or Senate should be allowed to trade stocks.
Correct.
Period.
Yep.
It's a giant conflict of interest. These guys sit on committees and they know stuff in advance and they trade on it and nothing ever happens to it. It's wrong. It's plain wrong. But the only way it's not going to happen is if Congress passes a law to stop it. And this is the same Congress that won't stop Trump. They're certainly not going to stop themselves from insider trading.
So that's the new crypto and all the potential confusion and scandals that come with it. On the other end of the spectrum, we have pennies, those little copper circles, heavy in your pocket and weightless at the cash register. Here's more on the end of those from the Noon Business Hour on WBBM Radio.
With the U.S. no longer minting pennies, retailers are scrambling to adjust, creating workarounds, rounding prices, and facing potential losses from cash transactions. We welcome in Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And for years, people have said, pennies, who needs them? And now we know the answer, Bob.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, the Mint reported last year that it spends 3.7 cents to make a penny and it spends 13.8 cents to make a nickel. So, a convenience store has been begging for this to get rid of for 30 years. They weigh a lot. You have to spend a lot of time counting them out and everything. The problem is it was announced and then we're not going to make any more orders without any contingency plans, without any direction. And it sounds easy to a consumer. Well, just round down. Okay, that's 4 cents. Potentially on every cash transaction I do. And if you're a convenience store or you're a fairly big player, that could end up as millions of dollars in a year,
Now, a lot of people, especially since COVID-19, the transition to cashless transactions really has been taking place at a furious pace. And yet a lot of people still use pennies, as we've discovered. How important is the penny when you have a forward facing retail establishment? How important is the penny in setting prices? And also, how many people out there still use cash primarily as their number one form of commerce?
Well, it's going to be rural places in particular, that are going to, they don't necessarily have debit cards, and that's the world. They don't trust the government and banking, and there's a mindset behind that. But, the biggest problem is that almost every jurisdiction in the U.S. requires a line item showing what amount of tax you're paying. So if I ring you up and it shows the tax should be, $6.14, and you round it down to 10, well, what happens to that 4 cents? it's an accounting nightmare. Well, who writes that off? And are we just going to say to the, you know, to the person who's running the register, yeah, don't worry if it's off, you know, a few bucks? That goes against everything a retailer would expect, right?
And it's also remarkable that you think the sheer number of pennies that were in circulation, that they would just stay there for a long time, and yet the supply of pennies is drying up.
Yeah, well, they're not making any more. And the reality is, until we get around to saying, you know, I think eventually the nickels and the pennies are going to be discontinued. And, you know, an awful lot of government benefits are coming through cards now instead of through checks. We don't want checks. Nobody really wants cash. And even though a lot of retailers have said, oh, cash is king, that's the best way to pay. Not really.
Was it Will Rogers who said it's land is the only thing they're not making anymore? Well, we can amend that to pennies. Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor based in New York. Thank you for joining us today.
The final orders are in the early months of next year. The last penny will be minted. Stephen Bita is a 37th District Court judge and also a U.S. Mint liaison. He said the nostalgia will come with memories that a new generation will be without.
I think there's a part of sense of losing something that a lot of Americans will look back kind of fondly as a child, even as an adult, saving pennies. At the same time, I think there's a mixed feeling out of it. A lot of people look at stopping striking of the U.S. cent as maybe something that's been overdue. Our neighbors in Canada stopped making the 1 cent denomination in 2012, and it's worked out very well over there. Many other nations, New Zealand, Australia, Great Britain, also eliminated their smaller denomination. And there's actually a number of government studies going back almost 50 years calling for the cessation of the striking of the U.S. cent. At the same time, I think people are concerned in these inflationary times that getting rid of the lowest denomination coin is just going to cause retailers to round up rather than maybe round down. And but I think the biggest thing might be one of nostalgia. And as a kid, you would bet pennies, you would skip pennies against a wall. It's just a lot of interesting things that come with that. And for some kids who are collectors and adults who are collectors, maybe one of our ties to a simpler time. When you start looking at how the economy will go forward without that denomination, as more and more people will be growing up without it. We're living in a time when, you know, and at a certain point, there's going to be kids that just don't remember ever seeing a 1 cent piece, which is going to be kind of odd because it's so much a part of our life, whether you like it or you consider it an annoyance. It's been part of our life for this little ubiquitous little piece of metal that we would get in change and oftentimes end up in a change jar for a while.
Do you think this last pressing, I guess that, I don't know what the right term would be, so the ones that they're going to put out next year are going to have any collector value to them, or do you think a penny probably won't?
I think they'll have a collector value. Usually when there's a major change like that, people start to pay attention to that series. It's actually one of the most highly collected coin series in the world, and that Lincoln cent design is the most reproduced piece of artwork in the world. Because they've made billions of these. Will they become rare? I think there's right now that if you could find a brand new roll of 20-25 pennies from a bank, dealers are selling them for $4 or $5 on eBay. It's kind of interesting. There's a collector market already. People are speculating on them, but I don't think they're going to be rare by any means. They'll probably be hoarded more than any of the other years that were struck.
There's about 114 billion pennies currently in circulation. It's going to take a while before they become rare.
While the penny may be leaving, some things that run on it, like the pony outside Meijer stores, is eternal. Meijer's mechanical ride is one of the few things that still cost 1 cent. And questions have been raised about what the loss of the coin means for Sandy's future. Here's the answer from WWJ News Radio in Detroit.
Sandy the Pony is a beloved member of the Meijer team. Sandy came about or became a part of Meijer in 1962. So Sandy's been bringing joy and nostalgia to families for 63 years and counting. and is certainly, we know, the highlight of shopping trips for many children in Michigan and the other states where we're located. So Sandy is a part of, you know, the great shopping experience at Meijer. One of the reasons Sandy came into our stores is as the Meijer family, Fred Meijer and his father Hendrik, were envisioning a new retail format, they really knew their customers, and they knew that when customers were coming for a shopping experience, they weren't just coming for practical necessity, but what would keep customers coming back is if there was something a little bit more. And so we see that's still a part of Sandy the Pony, that the promise of a pony ride is the reason kids look forward to shopping trips with their parents at Meijer, knowing that they'll be able to ride to have that entertainment before they leave. And that's one of the reasons that the team at Meijer is making it a priority to find a solution, just to make sure that Sandy continues to be a part of the Meijer experience for many years to come.
Speaking of money, Republicans and Democrats finally came to terms this week and agreed to a budget. That means it's back to business as usual at the federal level. Or maybe not. Here's when things will actually get back to normal, from KCBS Radio.
Now that the longest government shutdown in history has come to an end, when will our airports get back to normal? To help answer that question, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by CBS News Senior Transportation and National Correspondent Chris Van Cleve. Chris, always good to talk to you.
Good to be with you.
So where are you, and just how bad are the airports today?
I'm in Phoenix today. You know, the airports are starting to look a lot more like they should, like pre-shutdown numbers. As far as delays go, the last couple of days have been pretty normal. You've had some weather issues. Certainly you're getting some rain there in the Bay Area, and that is resulting in some delays out there. But for the most part, nationally, things are looking fairly normal. Now, with an asterisk, because there are about 1,000 cancellations today, and nearly all of those are part of the FAA-mandated flight limits that the airlines are still working under. The FAA still required airlines to cancel 6% of flights into 40 of the nation's busiest airports today. That was supposed to climb to 8% today and 10% tomorrow. It's now holding at 6% while the FAA evaluates how the airspace is performing.
Yeah, I was going to say, with those air traffic controllers coming back, at least we won't see the 10% that was originally projected. But that still doesn't mean that, you know, there are people who won't have their flights canceled, and they'll say, hey, government's back in business. What's going on?
Yeah, so the airlines are canceling flights 24 to 48 hours in advance. So folks shouldn't be showing up to the airport to discover that their flight's been canceled unexpectedly because of this FAA order. You know, the plane could still break, something could happen, but the bulk of these cancellations we're seeing now were made in advance, and people were told in advance. That's once the FAA says, okay, we're good to go, or reduces the number of cancellations, whatever action they take, the airlines tell me it's going to take them that same like 24 to 48 hours to get back to a 100% full normal flight schedule, in part because they are continuing to cancel in advance to comply with this FAA order.
Do we have any idea what the costs are going to be for the airlines? Because I understood that some airlines were paying for Ubers and hotels for people whose flights were canceled.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be measured in the millions, probably the tens of millions, and industry-wide, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's expensive when you have to cancel, you know, hundreds of flights. American, Delta, United canceling close to 200 or more flights a day, that adds up with all of the passengers that are impacted. What they've tried to do is cancel more of their regional flights, those smaller planes that hold 50 to 76 people, versus a 737 that might hold double that. So they've tried to minimize the impact to as few people as possible. And part of the reason they're able to bounce back as quickly as they think they'll be able to is because they've largely not touched what they call their hub-to-hub flying between their major airports. So their crews and their planes are where they should be to ramp back up. But there's no question. In fact, Ed Bastian, the CEO of Delta, was on CBS Mornings today and told Gail King when she asked if this, you know, what this would cost the airlines, he said simply a lot. That number's probably not tallied yet. We probably won't know until after the holidays in December what the total number is, but it will be a considerable hit to their bottom line.
So, but bottom line is all we all should be okay for Thanksgiving week.
Certainly, that's the hope. You know, the Department of Transportation, the FAA, is very aware that flight volumes and passenger volumes are going to start to climb by the middle of next week. The airlines are well aware of it. And the airlines also want the message out that, that things are back to normal because, frankly, there's been a slowdown in bookings for Thanksgiving. That started right around the beginning of November as people were watching this slow motion meltdown start to happen. So if there are seats that are available, the airlines would very much like to sell them. And the best way to sell them is for people to feel confident that, that their flights are going to go. And it is certainly trending in the right direction as we speak.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Berry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.